top notes for them, and praise God, he's led them into the choice of songs. What my brother prayed about Psalm 23 before the service and during. I just thank the Lord, everything's knitted together. It's exciting when God does that. Amen. So today's word is simply entitled, I Can Do All Things Through Christ Who Strengthens Me. You may have heard me say that before. That is my favourite psalm. It's the psalm, verse, in Philippians. It's a verse which my dad, bless him, I thank so much, invested that verse into me. He spoke it into my life so many times. When I was young at school, worried, anxious, he just constantly speak that word into me. And it's, praise God, the Lord's retained it in my heart. And it's true for us all. We can do all things through God who gives us strength. Amen. And recently the Lord's been talking to us about he is the heavenly shepherd. He is the heavenly shepherd. He's the heavenly shepherd of this flock and all the body across the world. Well, thank you, Lord, for Psalm 23. I thank you, brother, for reminding us of Psalm 23 today. We are his sheep. God wants us to remain in his fold. He doesn't want any sheep to wander off. He wants us to be together. And the Lord will lead us as we continue on this journey. We've been reminded of God's promises. Amen. There are too many to read off today, but last week we looked at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 11, and we're reminded of the promises that we can partake in the divine nature. We have that promise in 2 chapter, let me read it, 2 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 11. If we do make our call and election sure, if we do these things, which I'll come back to in a minute, we'll never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom for our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. That is the goal we have. And Corinthians reminds us we're running a race. We're not chasing perishable crowns. We are chasing imperishable crowns, an eternal crown, a crown to be with the Lord forevermore. Amen. That is our hope, and that's shared by all of us. That's a common, consistent hope we have. And I pray we are grabbing hold of that daily. Never lose sight of that hope. Of course, each one of us will have God will have his own plan for each one of us, his own will, and that may be revealed in one hit, or it may be through the as you go through life's journey, he may reveal more and more and more. But we share a common foundation of eternal hope with the Lord. And we have that confidence that God has created us. He's got perfect plans for us all. We may have made mistakes in our life. We may have deviated from God's will. But he's a gracious God. He's got a plan for your life today, tomorrow. Amen? Don't get robbed and thinking God's got no plan for you, because that's a lie. We're reminded that in verses 5 to 8, some sort of conditions to reach that promise, and the characteristics, if we walk in the Spirit, we've all got faith in the Lord, if we walk in the Spirit, we're to build on our faith and build on the characteristics of God through the Holy Spirit, not in our own strength. I'll remind us what we read last week, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, which means seek it, chase it, intentionally think about it. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you're neither barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope none of us want to be barren or unfruitful today. And I hope we are striving to build on our faith. And some of these characteristics, although we need it every day, but when some of these ones we're needing more and more. There's one or two I want to focus on today. And the main one is perseverance. Perseverance. And I like to draw on examples in the Bible that helps me in my things in application. So one a great man of the word who I want to just focus on today is Joseph. His life was full of ups and downs. But during his journey, he didn't turn his back on the Lord, did he? He wasn't perfect, but he didn't turn his back on the Lord. And we'll focus on that shortly. And about his life, Joseph's life, it's a testimony that God's will prevails. Nothing can get in the way of God's will. Even how terrible a situation may be, God's will prevails. And we learn that God was with Joseph. The Spirit of God was on Joseph. And as New Testament believers, we have that promise which God's given us, that the Holy Spirit can indwell in us all, live in us, give us the power every day to live in his plans and purposes. So in Genesis chapter 37, verse 7, God had given an insight to Joseph of his plans and purposes for him. Genesis 37, verse 7. And this is one of his dreams. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And the passage goes on where he's had another dream and confirmed, and he told his brothers about it. Now, I don't know, I wasn't in the situation, but maybe Joseph could have told his brothers slightly a different way rather than winding them up. But the bottom line is, he had an insight of the will of the Lord for his life. We know later on God had given Joseph the ability to interpret dreams. So the way I read this, Joseph must have had some insight that was his future. Okay? That was his will. We're going to touch on perseverance. Perseverance was prevalent in Joseph's life. Amazing. But it wasn't his perseverance, so I'm going to be persevering. It was through the Spirit of God, which I believe helped him be a perseverer. Do not trick yourself, people, and this is for me as well, that we can just persevere just by mind over matter. It can't happen. It's through the Spirit of God where we'll persevere. It's a supernatural characteristic. Amen? Just like self-control, virtue, brotherly kindness and love, they are spiritual characteristics. But I just want to go in and just go through a whistle-stop tour on some of the events in Joseph's life, and we'll dig in one or two of them. The brothers will put a little diagram on the screen in a minute. And I was praying and I was planning this, and I just thought, oh, it'd be great to have just a picture that describes all this. I quickly Googled it, and the first thing that jumped out was this slide. And I thought, wow, thank you, Lord. I'll use that. So I'm not taking any credit for that. Some brother did that somewhere. And I'll just go through this and just shows you, and I like where it says hills and valleys. In life, we have hills and we have valleys. Sometimes we're going up, sometimes we're going down. Sometimes we're maybe on the top, sometimes we're maybe on the bottom. And hopefully, as we look at Joseph, this will encourage us as we go for our walk, we go for our pilgrimage on this earth. Joseph's life started off on a bit of a crest, didn't it? He was a favoured son. Any parents in here do not have favourite children. That just sets the tone wrong in the family from the outset. So love all your children. Your children will be all unique, but love them consistently. Amen. Don't make the mistake Jacob did. But he had it made. He wasn't the firstborn, but he had the favour of his parent on him, showering with gifts. He could do no wrong. So he must have thought, starting on, is pretty good. He's been given dreams, prophetic dreams, that he is going to be above his brothers somehow. It must be going through his head. So he goes from a hill and very quickly into a valley. And it starts off in around about chapter 37 of Genesis, verses 24. We know that the brothers were jealous of him. They hated him. They despised him. But what do they resort to do? chapter 37, verses 24. Then they took him, cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. So, by it's referring to water, it must be referring to a well. And wells aren't normally 1 foot tall. They are pretty deep. And we read, it's empty. So there must have been a fall of some height. I'm not going to guess how it was, but I presume it's pretty high. And there must have been landed in pretty hard ground, barren ground. So sometimes you read these things, you just say, oh yeah, he fell in a pit. Try and put yourself in the shoes of Joseph. It must have been scary. He must have been fighting, tussling. His brothers grabbed him and threw him down there. How on earth did Joseph feel? He'd have been in physical pain, no doubt. He'd have been in emotional pain. What is going on? My brothers are throwing me in this well. He had an affinity with his dad. He must have been thinking, what is my dad going to think? I'm my dad's special son, or what is he going to think? I do not know how he felt, but I can imagine it was very, very awful. Then, all of a sudden, his brothers, probably lying there, lonely, dark, he sees a rope or some hands leaning over, and they try and grab him. And he's probably thinking, oh, maybe they've had a second thought. Maybe they changed their mind. What happens? They don't just sort of say, sorry, bro, we've made a mistake. They go and sell him. Chapter 37, verses 28. Then Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up, lifted him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. He didn't know where he was going. He was in captivity now. He was going to a foreign land. He must have been pretty, pretty scared. As his back turned, he's probably on a camel train, sees his brothers in the distance, off to distant lands. Imagine how he felt. He's gone from, I'm the top son, can't do any wrong, to abandoned. But later on, we say the Spirit of God was on him. The Lord was with him. He wasn't abandoned. As he was going through this new valley, the Lord was with him. When we go through valleys, seek the Lord. Cling on to him. I need your help, Lord. So, if you don't mind putting the little diagram up again, please. He didn't realize it, but he was on a hill he was on the journey towards a hill. As sheep, sometimes we may not realize we're going up towards a hill. We may think we're going through just a horrible journey of wind, rain, rocky terrain, but actually God may be leading us towards crest. And the Lord was bringing him to a bit of a peaceful time. We know he was sold as a slave, and he came under the household of Potiphar, a new servant. What was Joseph's attitude? I shouldn't be here. I'm not serving you. I was wrongly sold. Down tools, I'm doing it. No, he served this new master wholeheartedly. Chapter 39. Verses 1 to 4. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, amen, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and the master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him an overseer of his house and all that he had put under his authority. Amen. The Lord was with Joseph and abandoned him. In a new land, new boss, new environment, the Lord was with him. I thank the Lord he was with him. So, he's on a crest, he's serving the Lord, his boss recognises he's a man of God. Wonderful. But the unexpected happens. We read that Potiphar's wife had an eye for him. We read he was a handsome man. He probably was very, he was well respected. And he caught the eye of Potiphar's wife. One of the characteristics we read about last week, and we just read? Self-control. self-control. One of the fruits of the Spirit. Chapter 39, verses 6 to 14. Thus he had left all he had in Joseph's hand. He did not know what he had except for bread he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house. He has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor is kept by anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her, to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time, when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were aside, she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie on me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled outside. And so it was, when she saw that he left his garment in her hand and fled outside, she called to the men of the house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought us a Hebrew to mock us. He came to lie on me, and he cried out of a loud voice." Later, we read that he was wrongly accused, that accused was going to Potiphar, and the actions for Potiphar was disgust and sent him to prison. Day after day, she was making advances to Joseph. We read that Joseph was a single man then, handsome, he was a man, he has the flesh, he has needs. This woman was coming every day. In the flesh, I'm sure, no doubt he was tempted at some time. But praise the God, the Spirit of God was on him, supernaturally self-control. He relied on the Lord, not his own strength. Amen. You may have struggles today, whether it's sexual or whatever it is. Lean on the Lord and he'll give you self-control. Ask for it. Ask, seek, knock. Lord, give me self-control in this situation. Amen. And just as a practical thing, the one time when she falsely accused him, there were no witnesses around. So, married men, married women, just a practical tip. Don't put yourself in a situation where even the intent is right, where you could be falsely accused or falsely judged. So if you need to speak to a sister or a brother, make sure there's a brother or sister around in the room. Just makes sense, okay? So, he's gone from a pretty big hill again to a trough dramatically. He must be thinking, what on earth is going? Gone from being favourite son, favourite employee, into a prison cell again. What is going on? Perseverance. Joseph had the perseverance of the Lord. Amen. So, we read later on that Joseph came across a couple of interesting characters. Pharaoh's chief butler and chief baker. And they have some dreams, and Joseph comes across them and he interprets their dreams. And in chapter 40, what happened was they then get released out of prison, go back to the Pharaoh. And Joseph said, in verse 23, bear with me. I lost the verse. But basically, he says, "Don't forget me." Oh, sorry. Yeah, verse 23. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph. So he said, "Don't forget me." And he's probably thinking, "Oh, thanks for giving me this interpretation. You're the man. I won't forget you." Goes off, he's thinking, great, he's got the ear of the Pharaoh. He's going to help me out here. And probably every day he probably heard the rattles of the prisons, and here he comes, he's going to help me. 2 years later. 2 years. 2 years. That's a long time. You may be going through a trough today, maybe more than 2 years. Maybe thinking, "What? How long do I need to wait, Lord?" But But the Lord was with him. He persevered. Okay? He persevered. So, Joseph didn't realize he's on the another journey towards the crest again. And we read later on that Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream. And Joseph Pharaoh's plea. So chapter 41, verse 38. Chapter 41, verses 38. And before I read that verse, if you can imagine, everything which has gone wrong since Joseph's been to Egypt is all linked to the establishment of the kingdom of Pharaoh. He went into Potiphar's house. He worked for Pharaoh. He was falsely accused. So in Joseph's mind, he could think, I've been falsely accused by your kingdom, Pharaoh, by your worker. I've been put in prison by your worker, by your kingdom. I've been let down by two of your chief colleagues, where they forgot me. And now, you've got the cheek now to ask me to interpret these dreams. In the flesh, you could think, Joseph said, I'm not doing that. You've just wasted the last few years of my life. You've treated me like peasants. Why on earth am I going to help you out now? But the scars, I'm weathered because of this. But Joseph's heart was of the Lord. Amen. He had virtue. And he had a righteous heart. And he heeded those in authority. He recognized this man was the boss of this kingdom. And he heeded him. And he realized that he serves the Lord. And the Lord had given him the interpretation. So he heeded the Lord. Okay? So he gives them interpretation in chapter 41, verses 38. Pharaoh says to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man whom is the Spirit of God? That's confirmation from the outside that the Spirit of God has been upon Joseph. Joseph could not have done all this stuff in his own strength. He had to have the Lord's hand upon him. So, a little diagram on again. He's on a crest now, and he's appointed the second in charge of the whole of Egypt. Well, he's made it again. He's made it. He's gone from stepping stone from the best son, best colleague, now he's second in command. Verses 40 to 41 of chapter 41. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne I will be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over the land of Egypt. Whoa, it's a pretty big responsibility. That could have come a bit of pride. It could have come, right, I am the top dog now. God's plans and purposes were starting to come into fruition. The famine came along Egypt, and we see, talked about, brotherly kindness and love. And this is demonstrated in Joseph now. This is hope that we can have brotherly kindness and love in our own lives through the Holy Spirit. I won't go through all the whole account. But before I do, I just want to just read one verse which sums up really where Joseph's struggles were being. Chapter 41, verses 51 to 52. So Joseph became married. He had two children. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God has made me forget my toil and all my father's house. But it wasn't just a nice journey. Toil is a pretty heavy word. He was toiled through that journey. It must have been awful for him. But he recognizes God helped him. And the name of my second, Ephraim, God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. There you have it. Joseph was saying, I've been toiled. I've been afflicted, but he's persevered. Are we perseverers today? If we're struggling, God will give us that perseverance heart, okay? So he comes across his brothers. They come before him, and at first he maybe toyed with them a little bit, but it got to the point where Joseph had enough, and he could have had two courses of action. He could have inflicted his wrath on them. I am the second in command. How dare you treat me like that as a fellow brother? I'm the boss now at this place. I'm going to show you in charge. It's revenge time. That is the heart of the flesh. That is the heart of Satan, revenge. The Lord says he has the revenge. If you've had trouble, relationships with people, do not take revenge out on people. Okay? We need to have a heart of Joseph, heart of the Lord, show kindness and love. And in chapter verses 42, 22, I think this is the sort of the catalyst of Joseph's forgiveness and his heart. He'd been toying with him, but then Reuben answered them saying, and this is where they're talking and he understands what they're saying and they don't realise that. Did I not speak to you saying, do not sin against the boy? Would you not listen? Therefore, behold, his blood is now required of us. But they did not know Joseph understood them, for he spoke to them through an interpreter. And he turned himself away from them and wept. And he returned to them again and talked with them. I think his heart then was just full of compassion for this dear family. He'd had enough toying with them and speaking where they are. He wanted to now demonstrate love and kindness to them. So in chapter verses 43, they've been back and forth to the family. Jacob's bringing back the whole of the family, Benjamin included, to Joseph. Chapter 43, verses 23. But he said, peace be with you. Do not be afraid. This is where he's revealed himself and he's brought them in. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in the sacks. I had your money. Then he brought Simeon out to them. And 45 later on. Joseph could not restrain himself before all those and stood before him and cried out, make everyone go out from me. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians of the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But this my brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near me. So they came near me and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold in Egypt. But now, do not be therefore grieved or angry with yourselves because you have sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in this land. There are still 5 years in which there will be neither ploughing or harvesting. And God has sent me before you to preserve a posterity in you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it's not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, the lord of his house and the ruler of his land of Egypt. Hurry, go to my father. Say to him, thus your son Joseph, God has made me lord of Egypt. Come down to me and do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you'll bear with me, and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds, all that you have, there I provide you, lest you and your household, all that you have, come to poverty. There will still be 5 years of famine. What an amazing account. He's just spilling his heart. Look, this is God's plans and purposes. It's not you who did this. God's allowed it for a reason. God has given me the wisdom to help Pharaoh. I forgive you, brothers. Go, get everyone. I'm just going to end in I'll find it, but basically I'll paraphrase. Jacob's family comes into the presence of Joseph and Pharaoh. Even then, I'm sure he could have been tempted to say, I've got you now. I've put you in front of the Pharaoh. I'm going to do you. I'm sure in the flesh he could have easily done that. And in the flesh he could have been justified. How dare you? I'm going to really embarrass you now in front of our dad's here. Dad's got my back. Pharaoh's got my back. But he didn't. His love, his kindness shone through. And what it says, what I'm trying to read before, but I can't find it. He gave him the best lands. The Pharaoh endorsed it. They didn't like shepherds. They had to stay on shepherds. So they lived in the best land. They looked after the flock. They were back together as a family. What an amazing, amazing turnaround. And the heart of Joseph. And what I want us to know in the church, do we have the persevering spirit, Joseph? Are we leaning on the Lord and seeking him? God, give me self-control. I might go through challenging situations where I'm tempted. Give me that self-control, Lord. Give me a virtue, a heart of virtue. Give me a heart of brotherly kindness and forgiveness and love for my brothers. In Romans 8, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. We may be going through trials today, going through valleys. We may have gone through a prolonged valley personally, as a family. Do not lose hope. Seek the Lord and say, God, what is your will in this situation? And He'll speak to you. Do not lose sight of that eternal hope. That's our common ground. We've got eternal hope to look forward to. But God has got a plan and purpose for you on this earth. Joseph knew it. Seek the Lord and He'll tell you, He'll show you. Now I just want to finish on a piece of scripture in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 13. And this is Paul's heart, and this is challenging me. What am I praying for calling as church council, for this body here? What am I praying in my own life? What am I praying in my family's life? And I hope you reflect on it too. I mentioned it last week. Yes, we can pray for practical things. Yes, we can pray for interventions practically. But let's pray for those spiritual things more than ever. Amen. For this reason, since the day I've heard it, we do not cease to pray. Cease. And Peter talks about diligence. It's the same sort of thing. Striving, ceasing, never ceasing. Be diligent to pray for you. And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. What an amazing prayer list that is. That should be top of our prayer list. Pray for, be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Because if we have that, when we're going for the troughs, going for the trials, we'll have that peace. God, You are in control. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That you may be strengthened in all might, according to the glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering and joy. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of love. Amen. We're going to pray now. As we reflect and have a time of worship, just if you need prayer, we're more than happy to pray for you. But I pray that you will reach out to the Lord. Reach out to the Holy Spirit to give you that help. So Father God, we thank you for this account of Joseph. We thank you that your plans and purposes came to fruition. The Lord, what you promised, you delivered. Lord, that when Joseph went through those terrible trials, Lord, which you permitted, Lord, you did not abandon him, Lord. But we read on more than one occasion, you were with him. Your spirit was upon him, Lord Jesus. And Lord, good came from those trials. Father God, we thank you that he reflected your characteristics. He reflected your love, your kindness, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Lord, he was able to demonstrate self-control through the strength you gave him, Lord. And they remained faithful. I pray that for the same for each one of us, Lord, and myself, that we will heed Peter's commands and to build on our faith, Lord. To build on our faith virtue. To build on our faith knowledge, self-control, brotherly kindness, love. I pray, Lord Jesus, we'll seek you more and more. And Lord, I pray that any one of us are going through a valley, going through trials and tribulation, as they lean on you, they'll know your plans and purposes. They'll know they're not abandoned, but they have a Heavenly Father who permits all things, is all seeing, all knowing, and allows us to be more than conquerors. So, Lord, we thank you. We have the victory in you. We don't search perishable crowns, but, Lord, we are striving for an imperishable crown. in eternity with you, Lord Jesus. Give us the strength as a church to strive for that crown. In the coming days, Lord, we just pray that you would shepherd this flock, that we will strive together to fulfill your plans and purposes. Give us a persevering heart. Lord, may we not, when we're tempted, may we not throw the towel in, Lord Jesus. But Lord, strive for you. Because in all things, we do all things for you, Lord, who gives us strength. Amen. Amen.